thank you all for being here today. Thank you for worshiping with us. So today, if you'll open your Bibles to Jonah, this is a lesson I did with the youth a couple weeks ago, and I think I got more out of it doing this lesson than probably the youth did. Oh, sorry, kids. Yes, you guys are dismissed. And so I thought, well, we're going to kind of transition this from a Bible study I did with the youth into maybe more of a message today. And so we're not going to be in necessarily one specific passage of Jonah. Jonah's a short book, right? So we're going to skip around a few passages in Jonah, and then we've got a few other passages as well. So just, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? It's one of the most popular stories, Bible stories, right? And we teach kids from a young age, right? The story of Jonah, right? God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Did Jonah go to Nineveh right off? No. He said, I don't want to do that. And he went the opposite way. And I've got a map to show you guys in a little bit. We won't put that up right now. But it shows you how opposite of a way Jonah was trying to run from God's will, right? So we know, right, he hopped on a boat with some pirates, and according to the VeggieTales story, if you watch the VeggieTales story, he hopped on a boat with some people, and what happens next, right? A storm comes, the captain and the people on the ship are all scared. They said, okay, who upset their God? And it came to find out Jonah was the one that upset God, right? And so what happens? They throw him overboard. Jonah gets swallowed by a giant fish for 3 days. The fish throws him up on the shore, and Jonah's attention, or God got Jonah's attention. It would have gotten mine too. And then we know he went to Nineveh, and he preached to Nineveh. They repented. Jonah was upset, right? So that's the story of Jonah. We all know that. But just in case, I wanted us to get that summary of Jonah, and we're going to see how the story of Jonah really applies to our lives. And I think on the surface level, Jonah, the story of Jonah, it just seems like a cool tale, right? It just seems like a cool story to know that, hey, don't run away from God. And that's it. But really, when you dive into the book of Jonah and you see what Jonah was going through and how Jonah many times is like a mirror for us when we read scripture, we're going to see that there's a lot of application in this book for our daily lives. But first off, let's talk about three takeaways from Jonah that are very explicit in the scripture, right? Well, the first one is God's sovereignty over creation, right? We see several examples of God's sovereignty over creation. Jonah is a great book that gives several illustrations of God using his authority over creation, right? What was the first one? The storm. In Jonah 1:4, it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." The Lord sent out that great wind. The wind didn't just come. The Lord placed it there. God is sovereign over his creation, right? We know about the fish, one of the main characters in the story. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, right? So we see God's sovereignty over his creation again. He prepared the fish, right? It wasn't happenstance. The fish didn't just show up. The Lord prepared that fish to be in that specific time in the Mediterranean Sea at a specific place, specific time, right? So God is using his sovereignty over creation. And then at the end of the book, right, in Jonah 4, 6 through 7, with the gourd and the worm, right? Verse 6, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head." He was in the desert, right? So it was super hot, most likely. God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Then God prepared a worm that morning that rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered, right? So the worm came, God prepared the worm, and destroyed the gourd. So here's our first takeaway. God is sovereign over creation, and Jonah is a perfect example. The book of Jonah is a perfect example of God being in complete control over creation. The second one pretty obvious one, like God's sovereignty over creation, God's grace. God's grace is so prevalent in the book of Jonah, right? In chapter 4, verse 2, Scripture says, "And he prayed unto the Lord," this is Jonah, "and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil," right? So by this time, Nineveh had already repented, and Jonah almost knew that it was going to happen. This, hadn't I said this before, that you are a gracious God? So God's grace is prevalent in the book of Jonah, right? Because he didn't destroy Nineveh. So another one, God's grace is extended to some of the most wicked people. God is willing to forgive those that do wicked things if they turn away from their sins. And we see this in Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, 21 through 23 says this, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, and he shall live. Have I any pleasure that at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" Right, so Jonah is a great illustration of God showing grace to wicked people, extremely wicked people, that have turned from their wicked ways and have followed after righteousness, right? And Jonah knew this. Jonah wasn't just running from God because he was scared of the Ninevites, right? In chapter 4, he says, "God, I wanted to run because I knew you were gracious." And we're going to dive into this a little bit earlier, how the sore attitude of Jonah toward these wicked people. And he said, "God, I knew you were gracious. That's why I didn't want to go preach." So God's grace is prevalent in Jonah. And then another takeaway, the third one and last one, the pointless action of running from God. Right? Running from God results in hardship. It definitely resulted in hardship for Jonah, right? Now, just because you run from God, you may not, you know, when you're out on the lake, a big fish may not swallow you. But you may have issues when you run from God. It's going to cause hardship in your life. Now, running to God is going to have hardships too, right? But you're running in a track that God has placed for you, right? So running away from God is never going to result in anything good. God's plan is greater than our plan, right? That's preaching to the choir there. And so we know that God has a plan for us, right? Ephesians 2:10. Let's put that on the board. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Right? So before the foundations of the world, God has ordained a plan for our life. So who are we to think, "I think I got a better plan," right? And this is what Jonah was doing. And honestly, Jonah probably knew better. I don't think Jonah was an idiot. Jonah knew better. And we see in chapter 4, like I just said, but he knew God was gracious and he just had so much hatred in his heart. But God's plan is far greater than ours. So there's the summary of Jonah, right? We look at Jonah kind of from a 30,000 foot view and we see, okay, all these things are prevalent in Jonah. How does this apply to us? Here's the issue with Jonah. And we see it, and unfortunately, he kind of gets a bad rep with just one book that has four chapters that really shows the sorry attitude that he had. I kind of feel sorry for Jonah. He's probably in heaven thinking, "God, really? You couldn't add some better things about me?" Or another book at least. But Jonah, in this book, has a sorry attitude. And so here's the issue with Jonah, right? He knew these wicked people in Nineveh that practically spit in the face of God. They were pagans. They were not Jews. They were not of the nation of Israel. They were pagans, and he absolutely hated the wickedness, which was good, right? We're supposed to hate the wickedness, but what happened was he had such a sorry attitude and hate in his heart that he didn't want to see God's grace extended to wicked people. And that was the attitude that he had in his heart. So now we kind of reflect on our own lives in that, and we ask ourselves this: do we hate to see God's mercy on our enemies, or do we give thanks when God gives mercy to our enemies? Right? When we see people that we are kind of at enmity with and we don't really like, or maybe jealous of in some capacity, or some way have hatred in our heart, do we have an attitude of Jonah when God shows mercy to people? If a very wicked person comes to Christ, are we giving thanks in that moment that they are regenerated, or are we jealous and do we hate that like Jonah did? Do we have a desire to see the lost saved or destroyed? Jonah wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. He went to go preach, hey, God is going to destroy you. And Jonah, we see from chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah wasn't surprised when God extended his mercy to Nineveh. He wasn't surprised. That wasn't something. Now, we don't see Jonah ever telling them, hey, if you turn from your wicked ways, God's going to destroy you. That wasn't part of the sermon. Jonah just said, God is going to destroy you. He gave them God's message. But Jonah knew, and we see this, that Jonah knew that God was gracious. And Jonah didn't like that. Jonah didn't like God's grace being extended to people that were not like him. Does God showing mercy give us joy or give us sorrow? Are we Jonah when we say, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in the country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah did not want to see the lost get saved. Haley, I forgot to do this earlier. Put up that map. And this is just kind of a funny thing. So here we go. We got Nineveh. So going back to kind of what's going on, Jonah started in Joppa, right? And God called him to go 550 miles. And this is just something I pulled off the internet. So the miles may not be completely accurate, but the locations are pretty good. Joppa's right there. God called Jonah to go 550 miles east to Nineveh. Instead, Jonah was trying to go 2,500 miles west. Jonah didn't want anything to do with that side. He wanted to get as far away as possible. I don't know if he just panicked. He's like, I'll go to Tarshish, right? But he was trying to go the complete opposite way, not just in the opposite way, but pretty much probably as far as you can get from Nineveh. And so we see this, and this is a perfect example of us as a church, right? The struggle we have sometimes is, We're called to reach those people. The Great Commission is calling us to go to Nineveh. Go ahead and put that back up. God is calling us to go to Nineveh with the Great Commission. But sometimes when the Great Commission gets a little inconvenient, we want to go 2,500 miles the other way. And this is why Jonah is such a applicable book to the church and to believers. I believe all scriptures that way. But I think we fail to see this in Jonah. That Jonah had a sorry attitude, and if Jonah was here today, right, if Jonah was in the church, a Christian, right, after Christ, right, he would have a sorry attitude, or this is like him having a sorry attitude for the Great Commission. Thank you, Haley, you can take that down. So we need to self-reflect when we look at the book of Jonah. Are we going to have an attitude of disdain for the lost, or are we going to celebrate when God extends his mercy? Does our love for the lost push us to preach, right? We can have love for the lost. But if that's where that ends and there's no action, it does no good, right? Paul says, how will they know if there's not a preacher? Right, so does our love for the lost, and it should automatically, push us to preach? It didn't push Jonah to preach because he didn't have love. He had hatred for these people. If Jonah truly loved those people, he would have preached. And here's kind of the odd thing and the twisted thing, the opposite thing of culture, right? What does culture say? And we see this happening more prevalent today. Culture says, well, don't preach to people. We're supposed to love people. Well, Scripture shows us that Jonah's hatred kept him from preaching. If Jonah had love in his heart, that would have pushed him to preach. So we preach out of love. Culture says, listen, preaching is not loving. Yet Jonah showed his hatred for people by not preaching. And he said that. I said this from the get-go. I know you're merciful. That's why I went 2,500 miles the opposite way, or tried to go 2,500 miles the opposite way. Just as God called Jonah to preach to the lost, God has called us by the Great Commission to preach to the lost. And that's where the love in our hearts, it all starts with our hearts. How do we view the lost? Do we view them as a lost cause? Do we view them as people with no hope? And when we do that, we're fooling ourselves, because we were those same people. We were the same lost cause. We were the same group of people that were lost. And thankfully, God put people in our lives, right, to show us the gospel and to lead us to Christ. And now that we are in the church, in the body of believers, now God has called us through the Great Commission to do the same thing. So we don't show our love by not preaching to people. We preach out of love. But the greatest thing that you can do to somebody to show the most hate is not to preach the gospel and not to share the gospel with them. We either run to the lost or we run away from the lost as Jonah did. So is our priority lost people or our comfort? It's funny, in Jonah 4, God kind of teaches Jonah a lesson about something. In verses 9 through 11... in verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished in himself to die. This is after the little worm destroyed his shade, right? That he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah's, I hate, you kind of embarrassed me. I said God was going to destroy Nineveh, and I knew you were going to be gracious. I knew this was going to happen. Jonah's kind of throwing a pity party here, right? And then God brought him shade, and so God's kind of funny in this situation, right? And God prepared shade for him. He had the worm destroy the shade, and then Jonah throws a pity party. Oh, I'm so hot out here. There's wind. I'm in the desert. It's better for me to just die. And then God shows Jonah's hypocrisy to him. In verse 9, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? What he's saying here is Jonah was so upset about his shade getting cut off. His shade was destroyed. Now he's hot in the desert. He's throwing a pity party, and he wants to die. And God said, you showed more concern about this gourd, about your shade, about your convenience, than you did about 60 lost people that God was going to destroy. And God's showing him that Jonah's priorities in this moment, I believe Jonah was a great prophet and great man of God. We're just talking about the negative side of him today, I guess. But God showed Jonah in this situation, or in this instance, that Jonah's priorities were not lined up. Jonah's priorities were not lost people. Jonah's priorities was his own convenience. And he knew that his message was God is going to destroy you, and he knew God's grace. And he didn't want that. He didn't want to have anything to do with that. His priorities were more concerned about his convenience than they were about God's message and lost souls. So is our hearts more saddened by our inconveniences than the lost souls? We're going to face a lot of inconvenience in this life. That's inevitable. But yet, we must be sure and we must be careful and intentional with our priorities with the Great Commission. The Great Commission is more, or should take more priority in our life than our own inconveniences. And God is showing us through the book of Jonah that Jonah was not in the right mind, but really Jonah's heart was not in the right place in this moment. And so Jonah is a great, almost self-reflective book for us, where we look at Jonah and we look at this book and say, is this how we are treating the lost today? Is this how we are treating the ones that need to know Christ? Or is this how we're treating the blind? Is this how we're treating the people that don't know what God says, can't discern between their right hand and their left hand? They're so lost. They're blind. They're wicked. Is our priority our conveniences, or is it the Great Commission? And then lastly, we see in Luke 11:29-32, it's interesting that Jesus compares his ministry to Jonah's. And I think, you know, this is just kind of looking into it, but this almost kind of gives a better outlook on who Jonah was, right? Because Jesus kind of uses Jonah as an example. And I don't know if that was just kind of a thing God was doing to honor Jonah. But we see kind of Jesus using Jonah as an example. But this really is the importance of Jesus Christ and him giving the Great Commission. So Luke 11:29-32, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here," which is Jesus. "And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." So Jesus is kind of preaching to the Pharisees right here. And he's the Pharisees are seeking a sign, right? And he said, "Hey, listen, a sign's not going to be given, right?" And he gives examples, right? He gives the Queen of Sheba came and listened to Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then Jesus says, "Well, greater than Jonah's here." And now it is our responsibility and our concern to take that message of Christ and share it to the world. So I want to encourage you to read the book of Jonah. We didn't read all the book of Jonah today, and it's a short book. You can read it literally in 25 minutes. And read this and understand that this is not just a story about a fish. This is not just a story that a fun little story to tell our kids and we can laugh and we can watch funny VeggieTale videos or movies about it. This is a story that has very big meaning in our lives and can help us look at ourselves, be as a mirror for our own lives and how we view the world, view the lost. Are we running to the lost? Are we trying to reach across that chasm and win souls over to Christ? Or is that too inconvenient for us? Or do we struggle with the hatred in our hearts that Jonah did? And that's a very important thing for us, because our calling is the Great Commission. And as Christians, if we have issues with that and we don't want to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to reflect on how prevalent Christ is in our lives. If the Great Commission isn't something that's a priority in our lives, if reaching the lost isn't something that's a priority in our lives, and there's just not a love there, to win souls, to see people escape God's wrath. We need to reflect on really what Christ we have in our hearts and how prevalent the true Christ is in our hearts. So Jonah is a book that helps us reflect on our own lives, on how we need to reach the lost. Let's pray together.